ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
So on December 1st, 1968 in Los Angeles, Prabhupada spoke the following words. What is Maya? Maya means to plan how to become materially happy. What is Maya? The plan to become materially happy. This is Maya. This is Maya, he says. All the people of the world, they're simply making plan how they will be happy within this material world. That's all. This is Maya. The history of the whole world studied. It is experienced that the Roman Empire planned, the British Empire planned, so many empires. They flourish sometimes. All fail. The Britishers, they were 200 years ago planning to rule over this vast land of America. George Washington declared independence. Their plan failed. Similarly, in India, they were planning to exploit. Now Gandhi's movement made it fail. So this is bigger plan. Similarly, smaller plan also. There are many. Individually, we make so many plans that I shall be happy in this way, in that way, in this way. So my plan-making business is Maya, because that will never be successful. Trace out the history of the whole world. Nobody has become happy. Hitler made a plan, so great plan. You see, he was frustrated. So the sane man, intelligent man, therefore Bhagavad Gita says that a person who is actually intelligent, wise, how can he become wise? After being baffled or frustrated many, many times, he can come to understand this is not the process. And the Vedanta Sutra also places the first, atato brahma jignasa, when one is frustrated in an all plan-making business, for him, the Vedanta Sutra gives him the opportunity. Now your all plans have failed. Come here. Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now try to understand what is Brahman. That is the first aphorism of Vedanta Sutra. Just try to understand Brahman. So one of the ways to overcome Maya, because the plan-making propensity is always there. It's natural for living entities to make plans. Even in primary stages, ants make a big civilization. If you look underground, it's probably more organized than many of our modern human cities. Definitely some I can think of in various countries. So this is a natural way that living entities conduct themselves. They make plans to be comfortable, to be prosperous, to be famous, so forth. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, mogasya moga karmano moga jnana vichetasa rakshasim asirim chaiva prakritim muhinim shritaha, said that those whose plans are not connected with mine, he's called these mayic plans, demoniac plans, those who are planning to be successful separate from Krishna, those people, he said, are all baffled. Mogasha means baffled. Mogasha, moga karmano. All their work is baffled. It's a spaceship coming in. So mogasha means baffled. It means the work of such a person is baffled. Mogasha moga karmano moga jnana, the knowledge is baffled. Like people try to investigate the universe without taking help from Krishna, actually going to war against the idea that there's a supreme controller, and they become baffled. Numerous theories, and many of them contradict one another. And one theory will become prominent for a while, And everyone gets on what's called the big bandwagon and says everything happened from a big bang, the big bang bandwagon. And then somebody else will come up with another theory at another time, and everyone will get on that bandwagon for a little while. So detaching oneself from the safe system of taking knowledge from the divine source, which is the Vedas, leads to being baffled in various ways, various philosophical system and knowledge gathering systems. Moga jnana vichetasa rakshasim asurim chaiva. So Krishna says this is asuric. It's a as we say, demoniac way of thinking and living. Prakriti mohinim shrita. And then these people take shelter of the material energy. So in their plan making, they're baffled because it's Maya. So Krishna also teaches that one can make a plan to be Krishna conscious. One can make a plan, for instance, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And the way to overcome the Maya's plan, or my plan, which is Maya, is to have a bigger plan for Krishna. Make a bigger plan than Maya's plan. Maya may offer various plans for me, but if I can take the biggest plan of all, which is to become self-realized and also to spread Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission all over the world. For instance, this is very practical. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave an open order to become proficient in the science of Krishna consciousness. That very specifically means to understand Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. If you can go deeply within those literatures, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. And also to understand the very basic tenets of bhakti, which he said were that to understand that Krishna and his abode are non-different, and that Arajya Bhagavan Rajesha Tanayasta Dhamma Vrindavana Ramya Kachid Upasana Rajavidu Vargena Vokalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarta Mahan. He said, understand that the highest method of worship is that which was conceived by the damsels of Raj, spontaneous loving service and full absorption. And that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate authority on everything. And that love of God is the ultimate goal of life. Prima Pumarto Mahan. If one understands these things and becomes proficient, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, become heavy with this knowledge, become a teacher of this, and teach everybody that you meet, instruct everybody about Krishna consciousness wherever you go, and organize in the same way that Google is organized. I mean, they started off messing around with a few little formulas, and then they became more and more organized, and they continue to organize. And so does Apple and all the other companies that we're surrounded by here. They started with an idea and they organized it and they went forth. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends a similar thing. Think in ways in which to organize yourself so that you can become Krishna conscious. That's a way of organizing your life, because there are a lot of different ways in which you can organize your personal energies. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a blueprint through his disciples through which we can organize our lives around the principles of hearing and chanting. For instance, Tannama Rupa Charitari Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasi Niyoja Tishtan Vraje Tananu Ragi Jananu Gami Kalam Nayad Akilam Itu Padesha Sarab. Rupa Goswami said that the essence of all advice is that you should organize your life around the principle of hearing and chanting. So that's a plan. That's a way you can plan your life. And this is anukul seva. This is very favorable, as we just heard from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, any of the ways in which I find I can make my practice more favorable to Krishna consciousness, that way I'll accept it. So this is a plan. This is a way to plan one's life. And of course, not planning at all is a way in which you just accept whatever plan is thrust upon you. Because we can't live without some kind of structure and activity. And people who don't make any plan whatsoever then are forced to accept what other people think is a good plan. So one should be self-determining and accept the plan as given in the Shastra for how to organize one's life around hearing and chanting. For instance, every day one should include a diet of hearing and chanting. You could read from Srimad Bhagavatam, or you can read from the Nectar Devotion as an example, or you could make a study of the Bhagavad Gita. And I've noticed that those who do make a study of the Bhagavad Gita become highly learned. They're people who go deeply within the Bhagavad Gita and understand the ways in which Krishna teaches the basic principles of devotional service and all the other ways of the world. The five main subjects of the Bhagavad Gita are karma, the jiva, Ishvara, time, and which one did I leave out? And Prakriti. And those who study Bhagavad Gita very carefully become proficient in presenting philosophy to the world. They answer all kinds of questions. In fact, a friend of Chaitanya Charan's, who's publishes a lot of his articles, was saying that there's a local Christian preacher who was teaching that anything that doesn't come from the Bible is from the devil, and that all the different other teachers of the world are from the devil and so forth. And he was saying, making categorical statements like that, and he was aware of numerous articles that are published by Chaitanya Charan that answer so many questions that very simply, logically, and completely. So he said, and even the Hare Krishnas, even though they can answer all your questions, that's also from the devil. But the remarkable thing is that those who study Bhagavad Gita, they can answer all questions. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, make a plan to do this. What if one made a plan to become highly learned in the Bhagavad Gita? There would be a way in which one would organize one's life in order to do this. In fact, I know one devotee who decided that he would memorize all 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita, and he did it. And, of course, it requires maintenance to remember all those verses all the time. In fact, I have another acquaintance of someone who dedicates his life to memorizing verses. And I asked him, so how is it? Tell me something about it. He said, well, it's not so hard to memorize verses, it's just hard to remember them. But in any case, I saw this devotee, he was living in New Vrindavan, and he memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita, and he sat down one day and he recited the whole thing. He remembered the whole thing. He can't do it now, but he can remember most of them and knows where it is. But my point is, that's a big plan. And he was absorbed for about 2.5 years doing that. So this is a recommendation that you plan your life around the principle of hearing and chanting. You might be into kirtan, and you might decide to go deeply within the kirtan, and many have. We see around the world that people have become very expert at performing kirtan. Or you might learn how to cook for Krishna. I've come in contact even very recently with some really excellent cooks, and they use all their skills and talents for cooking for Krishna and for the devotees. And so this is a big plan. So that's why we sang Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song. There are various ways that one can plan one's life, various activities that are anukul, they're very favorable. And if you plan your life, you make a big plan that I'm going to become better at these devotional arts, and then utilize them to please Krishna and the devotees, that's a much better plan than Maya's plan. And if you make your plan bigger and bigger, it will absorb your life. So much so that Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paripasate tesham nityab yuktanam yogakshemam bahamyaham. Which means that when you've made your plan for devotional service so big that you don't have time for anything else, that Krishna will personally take care of you. You won't have to worry about it. That's what that verse means. It means he'll personally take care of all of your affairs if you become so absorbed in your plan to become Krishna conscious and to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. You're so absorbed in that that you don't have time to take care of yourself. He'll come personally cook for you. He'll make chapatis and say, here, take that and go preach. Take care. Yogakshemam bahamyaham. And there are stories Prabhupada told about how, you know, one scholar was reading and he said, Yogakshemam bahamyaham, that means personally. He said, it can't mean that. It means something else. So he scratched it out. And later that day, when he was away, a young boy came to the door and brought some groceries, and he had a scratch on his forehead. And this pundit's wife said, what happened to you? You come in, I'll take care of you. And thank you for the groceries. He said, your husband sent these. And he said, but he also scratched me. And so she was confused. She took care of the boy. He went away, and then the husband came back later and said, what are you thinking? Why scratched that boy? What boy? He brought all these groceries you told him to bring. What groceries? What boy? What groceries? And then she explained how this boy had come, had claimed that he had scratched him, and had given him all these groceries to bring to the house. And then he came back and he looked at his Gita and he saw that where he had crossed out Yogakshemam Bahami, and he had seen that now this was reversed. And then he got this internal realization that Krishna had personally come there and complained that you changed this point. I am personally taking care of you. And don't doctor the scriptures in your own way. So this is a very adamant statement by Krishna, very direct, very personal. And he makes them throughout the Bhagavad Gita that those who give themselves to me selflessly, and ananyash is a very special meaning that they have no other purpose. They have no other plan. Just Krishna's plan. What's your plan? I don't have another plan. Just Krishna's plan. And there are very surrendered devotees like this. They just say, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. They find out what that plan is and how it's coming to them locally, and then they'll just take it. And they'll say, and that's how one overcomes Maya's plan. Then Maya will come up with these ridiculous plans of how you're going to be happy. But they don't work. It's a big fake out. So the first way in which one can perfect one's life is make a bigger plan than Maya's plan. You got to have a bigger plan. So use your plan-making propensities. Use them. Make plans. Make big plans, bigger plans than Maya's plan. And when you have that in place, then you'll become fully absorbed in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. You'll become fully absorbed in making yourself more fit to serve Krishna by hearing and chanting in a regulated way, by improving the various devotional arts that you're working on. That takes a lot of work and practice, doesn't it? Okay. Now I'll take some reflections before I go. I have four of them for you tonight. But I'll take reflections on making a bigger plan than Maya's plan. Anything you heard so far that stuck for you? Yes, Shraddha.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. What stuck me was when you said that...
It's foghorn.
So when you said that my plan, and you said my plan is Maya's plan, so that was a revelation for me. Because we keep planning all the time, not knowing that subtly that Maya is suggesting all these things to us.
Yeah, she slips us a little plan under the door and goes, oh yeah, I thought of that. But it's actually Maya. Yes.
I just heard you say about Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, and I just wanted to mention that I just love his book called Mind It, And I mean, for even now, I'm not, I'm nowhere. But because of the book, I could sometimes realize, oh, this is not me. This is my mind, which I didn't know have before. Before I read that book, and it's just super awesome. I have no words, so I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you. Yes.
Just like the example of how you said that Google started, that Jesus started trying small things and then they got organized and became big. And I was just thinking how you said organize your life against chanting and hearing, and then it grows bigger and bigger like that to distribute it to others. Yeah.
These people didn't know how big they were going to get. They didn't know. And, you know, you should, making big plans means understanding that if I don't put limitations, if I don't keep limiting thoughts about what I can do for Lord Chaitanya, I allow myself to be used as an instrument, and whether I succeed or fail, that's up to Krishna, but I'm willing to go for the biggest concept of all. And not consider that, oh, that's too big to think of. Don't try for that. That's the that's also Maya's plan, to limit us. So you see all over the world, people have these plans, and they are persistent, and they keep thinking in bigger and bigger ways. And through making plans for Lord Chaitanya and organizing and implementing improvements over and over and over again, one can go on expanding by with the backing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a very absorbing way to live one's life. You develop a spiritual portfolio. Ramananda, is that ever fixable, or is that something we have to live with for the rest of our lives? Okay, thank you. Just to know we have a plan, that's good. All right. Mukharavind.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. And especially I like the point that you are telling that how we should not follow others' plan. I think even in Bhagavad Gita, I'm not able to recollect that there is one verse Krishna says that following others' plan is dangerous. I'm not able to recall, but there's some verse or purport where it mentioned. And I remember like when we were in the college days that there's some books like Chetan Bhagat's famous book that is like the plan that everyone has to follow. I forgot the book name, but there's some novels that as soon as you enter, that is the ideal college life. That was the predicted, but no one is telling about Bhagavad Gita. Fortunately, I came across some devotee who told me that what is a Bhagavad Gita's life. So that's so important to also tell about the what is the right plan, as materialistic are doing by telling the what is the their plan.
Yeah, and this is another point that we've made in other classes about how to outsmart a genius. And that is to get a better plan than the genius and just follow it, stick to it. Because even if one isn't a genius, if one follows the plan of the super genius who's Krishna, just like I follow that plan, and then you'll do better than everybody else. And this is recommended. Kurvanti govatsa padam bhavabdim. There's a way in which the previous great acharyas have chalked out plans. And if you follow the plans given by the previous acharyas, and you just stick with that, which was Prabhupada's plan. When he came to America, he was following Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's plan. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had an expansive plan to spread Lord Chaitanya's movement all over the world. In fact, when he first met, when our Srila Prabhupada first met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had a big plan. He was thinking globally. How to spread it all over the world, how to spread Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. To that end, he made a logo, he had an organization, he engaged unlimited amounts of money in building things and educational systems. And he wanted to push forward. It's a big plan to get people across the ocean into other cultures and get the the ideology transplanted over there. And how, nonetheless, he kept on it. And when Srila Prabhupada picked it up, he picked up the plan. He said, okay, that's your plan, now that's my plan. And that's how you become one with Krishna. You become one with his plan. That's oneness. And if you get a spiritual master who's following the plan of his spiritual master, then you follow that and you say, okay, you've got a plan, you've got some service, I'm following the same thing. Then you're connected. You're connected to the power of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's how you can keep making bigger and bigger plans. And that's how you just make them so comprehensive that you overcome all the other smaller plans that Maya has. And follow the plan of the genius. Now, nobody's smarter than Krishna. Krishna's, he knows everything, and if you want to be on a team of somebody where the coach knows everything, what's going to happen? that you follow Krishna's plan. That's better idea. Okay, so what else? Yes. Sundarananda. I get to spend more time with Sundarananda now because I'm on the corporate team. He even drives with us sometimes and we talk and we make big plans. We're making plans just driving around. We were happy yesterday we got caught in traffic, but I was with Madhava Govind and Sundarananda. I can't imagine any better kind of association than that in the world. And then we had our drawing board out. Madhava Govind is driving, Sundarananda's in the back, got a computer open, I'm in the front, we got papers out, and we were glad there was rush hour when we got out of Salesforce yesterday, which was huge, by the way. There were 400 RSVPs, and it was standing room only. People couldn't even fit in the chairs. Then they were so eager to hear the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. And on the way home, we're making more and more plans how to expand it. You can just see how within this, even within this little ISV universe, there's all these little projects, and each one of them can become, you know, Apple, Google. They told me Google's bigger than Salesforce, which was hard for me to believe because Salesforce buildings are so big. But we got more RSVPs from Salesforce than Google. So in that way, we think it's bigger. But in any case, we could just see how there's a whole plan unfolding for the corporate sankirtan and preaching. The corporate party that Shraddha pioneered is now expanding. More and more devotees getting involved in that. Shinmukaravind breaking in new territories, and that becomes a corporation unto itself. And then the other, you know, preaching within corporation, within the corporates themselves, going in, making programs for meditation and things like that. And all of these things are expansive. One can become fully absorbed in the deity department. As Bhaktivatsal is making plans, Ramananda Sakha, these working together, they're always improving, thinking how to make better, how to improve the standards and refine it. That's fully absorbing. It's a unlimited plan unto itself. Sorry, Sundar, go right ahead.
We are fortunate to have your association here, Prabhu. I was just recollecting the phrase that you always say: frame or be framed. So make your plan around hearing and chanting, or Maya will make a plan for you.
Yeah, good point. Is if you don't frame it, you don't frame what your reality and what your plan is. If you don't make a good plan, someone else will come in and say, "No, you got to take my plan." So plan before Maya gives you her plan. Frame or be framed. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I really like the story you narrated in which Krishna proves that, you know, he personally takes care of a devotee if he is honestly following his plan.
Yes. Yogakshemam Vahami. Vahamyaham. Krishna says, personally, I do personally. And he's so loving and personal. Krishna's our best friend. Sukhrit means the best friend within the heart. He's got our highest interest in mind. Isn't that nice to know? Krishna's there, he has our best interest in mind, and he accompanies us everywhere. Doesn't matter where we go, what situation we're in, he never forsakes us. And he always is ready to bestow upon us as much as we can handle. Therefore, Prabhupada talks about how we come to ever-increasing levels, if we're progressive, of appreciation. So this is what's called as our appreciating capacity. How much capacity we have to appreciate Krishna is our level of advancement in devotional service. And he mentions in the lower species of life, they have some appreciating capacity, but it's on a very primitive level. It's kind of anamoy. They're eating food and they're appreciating, ooh, this is very tasty grass. And that's coming from Krishna. It's sunlight's coming from the sun, the sun's coming from Krishna and from the Brahmajyoti. So they're ultimately appreciating Krishna. But human beings, they can really tune in and appreciate with their heart and with well-reasoned faith that this is who I'm actually centering my attention on. This is who I'm working for. They can declare it in writing and poetry and so many things and say that this is, you know, why I exist, for the sake of the Supreme. And for them, Krishna says, I'm like a lamp within their heart. I light up all their activities. I inform their intelligence how they can make advancement towards me. And this is the excitement of the bhakti yoga process. The devotee surrenders. And where does the devotee surrender? To the plan of Lord Chaitanya. You could put that plan on your wall. Just as much as you can put any corporate insignia and mission statement on the wall. For us, we put panchatattva. That's our insignia. That's where we focus our attention. And then we have the mantra where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, wherever you go, whomever you meet, teach this. And then his great followers, the great generals in his army, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they'll essentialize the mission of the corporation. And is a Jive Doi Krishna Nam Sarvadharmasar, that this is the essence of the mission itself, is to show compassion to others unlimitedly by spreading the holy name, giving them that opportunity to come in contact. That's a plan. And you can put that on your wall. You could get a tattoo. Put a tattoo. Kids, cover your ears. Okay, get a tattoo on your arm that says Jive Doi Krishna Nam Sarvadharmasar. And you can wear it around your wrist on a band like we have here. And remember, this is my mission statement. This is a plan. That's a good plan. Follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who else? We got some on the internet. Just in time, too. And one on the phone.
So, Bali Mardhan Prabhu is saying that if there is no plan, like a material plan, then how do we succeed in life? If you can clarify that.
Well, it's not that there's no plan. I'm saying that there is a plan, but that they overlap. You see, it's not material when you're doing it for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, lots of people, there are devotees who work. Like, one recently I heard about a devotee, and he had a conundrum. He said, you know, should I quit my high-paying job and just do full-time devotional service? And a devotee said, well, right now, you know, you're making huge donations and helping different ways, and you're also doing your hearing and chanting. It's not impeding your service, so do that. The two intersect. They go together. Everything becomes subsumed in the plan of Lord Chaitanya throughout the various phases of one life, as of one's life. There will be a time in which one could then not do the work and do some other kind of work. But the point is that if one keeps that banner of Lord Chaitanya and his plan as the main driving feature of one's life, then all the other ways in which one's working in the world also are included under that banner and can be utilized to help Lord Chaitanya's movement. When Prabhupada started his movement in New York and San Francisco, many of the devotees came, young people, and they said, great, we'll just chant all day. And Prabhupada said, no, go back and work. And some of them were driving cabs, some of them were working various jobs because they were working and giving money to support the center at the time. And all this, it gets utilized. Anasaktasya vishayan yatarhamu upayunjita nirbanda krishna sambande yuktam vairagya muchite. There's a way in which Everything can be utilized for the big plan of Lord Chaitanya. And if you don't utilize some things that are available, for instance, right now technology is available in the world, if I'm not incorrect. I mean, everything, even the little toys that kids get, you know, it's like, hey, it's got a chip in there. You know, what can that thing do? It can teach your child calculus. So there's technology available. And if we don't use all the technology, every bit of it, to expand the vibration of Krishna consciousness, then this is false renunciation. That's why here at ISV, we've been very much focused on finding out ways to continually improve how to broadcast and get better equipment and utilize everything so that the message goes out further and wider. You have to utilize it all in Krishna service. What else? Okay, it's time for me to move on to number two. Number two, what's number one? Make a bigger plan than Maya's plan. Okay, Maya's got a little plan for you, but you make a bigger plan. Say, sorry, I don't have time. I got my own plan. I'm following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I like his plan better. I think it'll work out better in the end. Okay, second is go against the grain of the material world. Develop an attitude of sacrifice. See, everyone wants to enjoy in the material world, but the way to protest, the way to give real resistance is to go against the grain. Don't follow the herd who are trying to find some happiness, squeeze some happiness out of material life. Forget that. But how can you forget it? You can forget it by going into divine sacrifice. Make sacrifice the center of your life. Make that the purpose of your life, to do yajna. And when you do yajna, then you get a kind of satisfaction that you can't get anywhere. It's a otherworldly kind of satisfaction. You feel completely whole. And also, everything works well when there's sacrifice. It's the purpose of the universe. Actually, especially where we live on an earth planet, and especially as humans on the earth, that's the main purpose of humans on earth is to perform yajna. And when you perform yajna, then you live in abundance. And that's how you live in abundance, is you do yajna and organize your life around this principle of yajna. Go against the grain. Don't try to be the big enjoyer in the material world, because it just makes you look foolish. And it is foolish. It's a stupid thing to do. And the realm isn't made for that. There is no comfortable place here materially, but spiritually you can become completely adjusted by the process of yajna. So Rishabha Deva says, Tapo divyam putraka yena sadvam, by divine sacrifice, you become purified, and then he says, then you enjoy pleasure that never ends. This is the inheritance of those who perform yajna. And also in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna jagnartak kamano nyatra lokoyam karma vandana. He says that the universe, when it was created, there was a declaration that here's how you can become well adjusted and happy, is perform yajna. So now, then you find out from Guru Sadhu Shastra, what's the prescribed yajna? What do I do? What kind of yajna do I perform? And in the Kali Yuga, the yajna, very specifically, is Sankirtan, just what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. And if you follow the Sankirtan yajna, it fulfills all the purposes of and brings all the results of all the other yajnas that were performed in other ages that seemed a lot more elaborate and were, and a lot more expensive. But in this age, the main yajna is Sankirtan yajna. And that's congregational chanting of the holy names, and congregational means to bring more people, get more people into the process of glorifying God's names, which are none different than God, and help them to stay in that position by giving them the wisdom of the Bhagavad Gita and a balanced lifestyle, which is in the mode of goodness, sattva-gun, lifestyle, means four regulative principles and such. Inculcating that into people's lives. What does the word inculcate mean? Over here from our panel of experts, inculcate, give them the microphone. You can look it up or call a friend. You can call a friend. Inculcate. Get a dictionary. Y'all don't have smartphones? Okay. You got a lifeline, call a friend. Go ahead.
Instill an attitude, idea, or habit by persistent instruction. The failures of the churches to inculcate a sense of moral responsibility.
Very good. Where does it come from?
It comes from Latin.
And tell us more about where it came from in Latin.
Mid-16th century from Latin, inculcat, pressed in from the verb inculcare, from into plus calcare, to tread, from cal to end, that means to heal.
To what?
To heal.
To heal, okay, inculcate. I have a question for you, Verna. Where were you in the mid-16th century? Do you know? I'm thinking Bengal somewhere. Okay. So, inculcate. It should be inculcated. The process of Krishna consciousness. Human beings are inculcatable because they're meant for that. They're meant for receiving inculcation. And if you leave them alone, you don't give them yajna. You don't give them the parameters of yajna. You don't teach yajna. It's violence. It's like, you know, people, they get a dog or something like that, and then they don't train it. They don't teach it any manners. And they give it junk food. And that dog will turn out to be a terror. And so living beings need to have inculcation, especially humans. And if you spoil them by not giving them proper inculcation and the opportunity to align themselves with yajna, then they become ruined. And it's the greatest kind of missionary work is to inculcate the people within one's purview in the system of yajna. And what is that? Very specifically, culturing knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. That's something that's easily done and can be presented in such a way that people can appreciate. Anyone can do that from their own home. Everyone should start a little program in their home, either over the phone. You can do that long distance with your relatives or friends. You can get together and use the technology so that you can talk to people, either one person or two or ten or more than that, and have a system to inculcate Bhagavad Gita. And if you go through systematically and you explain, okay, here's the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. This person, Arjuna, is in despair. And have you ever been in despair? Anyone?
Yes.
Yeah, you'll get the same response everywhere. You can ask that question. Everyone's like, yeah. It's like, wow, that works everywhere. So this is relatable to you. You're going into an area that you can relate to. You're in despair, right? Yes, I am. I definitely am in despair. Okay, let's see how this information can help you in your time of despair. And then systematically go through and say, here's what Arjuna, he inquired from a person who's a spiritual genius, who knows everything, and he'll teach. So he starts off by saying, okay, first of all, analyze who you actually are. That's important to know. Who are you? Well, you're not your body. You are an Atma, that can't be destroyed. It's imperishable, goes on forever. It can't be burned or dried. When people start to hear that information, inculcation of that information, that they become free from despair. They become directed properly in life. They can move forward with confidence, and their decisions are well made because they know what the purpose of life is. And he goes on to explain the sacrifices of knowledge and the difference between ordinary work and work that entangles one in the material world, talks about the super soul who dwells within the heart, and categories of work and working according to one's nature. all these principles in Bhagavad Gita can be inculcated and very much appreciated by the modern human, in all different cultures. That's why it's being translated in all different languages. So this is a sacrifice that anyone can do from their own home. Then also in your own home, you can do a little cooking. This is a very nice sacrifice you can do with modern-day appliances. Use fire, and you just light the fire. It's a lot easier than it used to be. And cook something. Cook some vegetables, and then you offer it to Krishna. You can put it before a picture of Krishna and say, please accept this offering. And Krishna will take it. And he says so in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, if you offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I'll accept it. And then you can just share the food with everybody. This is another yajna that anyone can do. It's get on this program of giving everyone spiritual food wherever you go. You could develop here in Silicon Valley restaurants that serve prasadam. You could get a whole food program going here of Krishna prasadam and set it up so that people in all kinds of institutions can get prasadam. That's a big plan. That would take a lot of work and concentration. But if you do that, that's a kind of yajna. It's a very specific yajna which is authorized by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the Bhagavad Gita, and you'll end up getting a fleet of trucks. You'll have to have these special containers that keep the food hot when you take it out. You'll have to get permits in various places. It's a big job, right? But I guarantee it's better than all the other kind of plans that are going on and all the other yajnas. So go against the grain. Don't try to work for yourself. Work for yajna. Yajna means Vishnu. Do it for Vishnu and do the kinds of things he likes. And the best way to do that is find out the ways that the Panchatattva did their yajna. They went out everywhere. They gave Krishna consciousness to as many people as possible. So go against the grain and perform yajna. Any reflections? Yes, Kanka. The microphone's just now coming.
I like the question when you asked, thank you, by the way, for a nice class. I like the question that when you asked, has anyone ever been in despair? And that Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna because of his despair. It's such a valuable understanding because you can see how Krishna is just trying to give us that information to help us get out of this suffering. And that was one of the things Srila Prabhupada would always say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And japa is also a sacrifice that we can do in this age to purify our hearts and help ourselves become happy.
Yeah, in fact, it's the main discipline that Prabhupada insisted that those who were coming closer accept as a vow. Is japa, chanting japa, taking the time to directly connect with Krishna one-on-one by repeating his names and learning to be respectful while you do it. I saw recently in a little article about Buddhism that and some of the Buddhists, they chant the mantra to the Lotus Sutra. I think it's the mantra says, Om Mani Padme Hum. It's all glories to the Lotus Sutra. And sometimes when they're doing the mantra, they write it on paper, but they use gold ink, some kind of ink mixed with gold so that it glorifies it. And this is a method of showing respect to the mantra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis, that Krishna is personally present there with all his energies within the mantra itself. And therefore, learn to respect the mantra. Don't make offenses to the mantra. And if you live your life on this yajna, this principle of yajna, of respecting the name of God, and then repeating it regularly with full respect in all the ways that you live your life, just this one principle of yajna will bring you to the perfection of life and complete happiness. What else? Yes.
I also like the point where you said, like, when you sacrifice for other people, you could, like, you get happiness at the end. And so I like that point because it when material happiness is very temporary, but when you sacrifice for other people, you get the spiritual happiness, and that lasts for, like, really long.
Yeah, that principle is noticeable. When you think about pleasing yourself, then there's anxiety. Because even if you get the object of your pleasure, then you think you're going to lose it. But if you think about doing service, then it's expansive and you begin to feel happiness. Especially when that service is connected with transcendence, then it becomes especially relevant. But even in the realm, Krishna says in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that you should always... you know, should be spontaneously attracted to me. And if you're not, then practice vidhi bhakti. Practice thinking of me. And if you can't do that, he said, then work for me by giving away the fruit of your work to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And if you can't do that, he said, then just try to be charitable and do nice things for others. Because just by doing that, you'll realize how expansive giving is. How expansive in the sense that it makes you bigger. It makes you grow. Any other points? Yes.
Maharaj, the words of the Rishabhdev always is something that comes out in the mind always. It's such a wonderful, in the one four line he summarizes the whole the sutra for becoming happy. So it's so nice to hear just that four that you're saying, that tapo divyam putrika yena sattvam. It's just out of the world. Just to focus on that four lines. Nayam deho deha.
Nayam deho deha bhajam nirloke kashtam karmam arhate vidbujamye tapodimyam putraka yena sattvam shudyad yasmad brahma saukyam tuanantam. So Rishabhadeva says that you'll notice that the animals are getting sense gratification for free. So when you see that, you should think it's not very valuable. So you shouldn't try to do the same thing. Instead, he said, you try for this divine sacrifice, tapo divyam, go against the grain of the material world, which says enjoy like an animal. And human beings dress it up, and they say, you know, it's better because it's dressed up. But it's like same juice, but it's in a different bottle. You just change the bottle and you think, oh, that's better. It's not better, it's the same. It's just a different bottle. So don't try for that, but try for yajna, tapo divyam. It's such a nice name, tapo divyam, say.
Tapo divyam.
Yeah, because on one side you have tapa and then you think, oh, that means difficulty or I'm doing some austerity, but divyam, it's divine. Tapo divyam putraka, and you become purified by that. And anyone can experience that. When you do some sacrifice, some divine austerity, afterwards you feel purified, and your capacity increases, and you actually become refined. You see that your brain becomes more functional, your body becomes illuminated, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, when you do activities in sattva-gun, and you do spiritual sacrifice, then all the gates of your body become illuminated. And your existence becomes illuminated by sacrifice. Tapo divyam, divine sacrifice. This is going against the grain of the material world. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudyed yasmad brahma saukyam. Tvanantam, it becomes unlimited, the happiness you experience in that. A good key to life. Okay, so the next one is, what's the first one?
Make
a plan bigger than Maya's plan. What's the second one?
Go against the grain of material. Develop an appetite for
That's right. Go against the grain of the material world. Develop an attitude of sacrifice. Prabhupada used to say that austerity is the wealth of the brahmanas. As you can think about that, if you can accumulate devotional austerities, there are austerities of speech, the austerities of the body, spirit, the austerities of the mind, and you go out of your way to find out what those particular disciplines are that are recommended by Krishna. And if you apply them in your life, then you become wealthy, spiritually wealthy. There is no other kind of wealth. The other kind is illusory. It's here today, gone tomorrow. But when you acquire Daivi Sampat, you cultivate spiritual wealth, then you get to keep that. Something you can take with you as a parting gift from the material world. Now we come to number three, which is that service to Vaishnavas is the root cause of devotional service. Service to Vaishnavas is the root cause of devotional service. We heard it in the song we sang tonight. Shuddha Bhakata Chararinu Bhajana Anukula. So that he says that the root of the creeper of devotion is service to the Vaishnavas. When one serves the devotees, then Krishna is the most pleased, because that's his intention, is to serve the devotees. But pure devotees won't accept any service from Krishna. Prabhupada's motto, do you know Prabhupada's motto was, everything for Krishna, nothing for me. That was his motto. So Krishna is always eager to give to his devotees, but they won't take it. So if you give it to them, then Krishna really likes you, because you're able to give what he can't even give. His devotees won't take anything from him. Like Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Nrisingadev said, you take benediction. And Prahlad said, no, I don't do that. I'm your servant. That's the way it is. I don't take anything from you. I only give. So those who find out this secret can make advancement very quickly in devotional service. Try to serve the Vaishnavas. Go out of your way to serve devotees. And the devotees, first of all, pleases Krishna, who then benedicts those who serve the Vaishnavas. And then the Vaishnavas become pleased when they meet those who are service-minded and go out of their way to accommodate them so they can increase their service. And when they do, they become pleased, their hearts open. And then the contents of their heart come flowing out to the servitors. And then you get all the contents of the hearts of these great souls. And that is the most valuable of all substances, because that's where love of God is in the hearts of the devotees. Even Krishna doesn't have that, because the devotees are the repository. Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirtha Kurvanti Tirtani Swantakstena Gadabrita. This is a verse spoken by Yudhishthira to Vidura. And if you haven't read the third canto lately, or at all, you should run, not walk, but make a plan, a big plan, to read the third canto, because you'll never be the same. So there he says that the devotees of the Lord are walking places of pilgrimage, because they carry the Lord within their heart. And very specifically, they carry love for God within their heart. And this is the rarest substance and the most desirable thing. And if you can serve the Vaishnavas, then they become favorably disposed, their hearts open, then you very easily get devotional service. Devananda Pandit was a very highly learned scholar, and he used to teach the Bhagavatam. And one day, Srivas Pandit came to his assembly, and he began crying because he's a pure devotee. But Devananda Pandit wasn't. Devananda Pandit was a mundane scholar, and he didn't know how to explain the Bhagavatam properly. Srivas Pandit, nonetheless, sitting in the assembly of all Devananda students, became overwhelmed by hearing the Bhagavatam, because that's what happens to pure devotees. And then the students of Devananda thought this was just a disturbance. They couldn't understand what a pure devotee is. So they forcibly removed Srivas from the assembly, and Devananda, who was their guru, he didn't stop them. So Later, much later, this was before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, but Mahaprabhu is omniscient, so he knows everything. And one day when he was walking with his devotees, he came to the area where Devananda Pandit was teaching. He said, this man is an offender. In fact, this Bhagavatam is not even bona fide because he's holding it and teaching from it. I'll tear that book to shreds, he said. It manifested this great anger, and his devotees dissuaded him from going there. But when he saw Devananda Pandit one day, he chastised him. And Devananda Pandit, he was a gentle person, so he took the chastisement from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is actually mentioned in that song, Ujvala Varna Gauravara Deham Tribhuvana Pavana. This song says that when Mahaprabhu chastises someone, they get greatly purified. He chastised Devananda Pandit. You don't know Bhagavatam. You offended a pure devotee. You'll never make advancement in Bhagavatam. You don't even know what it is. So how did he come out of that situation? Later on, this Vrikeshwar Pandit, who was a great pure devotee of the Lord, came and stayed in the house of Devananda Pandit. And Vrikeshwar Pandit's famous because he used to dance in kirtan sometimes for 72 hours without stopping. That means the kartals kept going for 72 hours, the madungas, everyone was singing for 72 hours, and he didn't stop dancing for 72 hours. The parishads, these eternal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are otherworldly. They have nothing to do with this material world. So he was a great pure devotee, was Vrikeshwar Pandit. And at one point, Devananda Pandit got to know Vrikeshwar Pandit, and just by his association, his heart completely changed. And in an assembly of kirtan, when Vrikeshwar was dancing, Devananda went in to do service, and he had a stick, and he was keeping people away because the crowd would crush in, and Vrikeshwar couldn't dance. And so he would push them away with his stick. And this way he was manifesting his service to the Vaishnavas. And then when Vrikeshwar would fall to the ground and roll on the ground, then Devananda would cleanse his body, the dust from his body. And because he got the association of Vrikeshwar Pandit, this mundane scholar, albeit mundane scholar of the Bhagavatam, which he couldn't understand, then got the favor of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the Vaishnav, Vrikeshwar Pandit. And then he became a great devotee and was recognized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the principle, as we find from the Chaitanya Bhagavata and Chaitanya Charitamrita, is that by service to the Vaishnavas, then one becomes dear to Krishna. And Krishna says in the Adi Purana, one who says he's my devotee, he's not my devotee. One who says he's the devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee. And in fact, in this section of Devananda Pandit, in Vrikeshwar Pandit, it stated that if one is a devotee of Lord Narayan, there's some question about whether he or she will actually attain perfection. But if somebody is a devotee of the devotee of Lord Narayan, then there's no question. They'll definitely go back to Godhead by that process. So Vaishnavism is an indirect process. We become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Prabhupada puts it like this. You become the servant's 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 servant a million times removed. And he said, this is liberation. And so if we can develop appreciation for Vaishnavas and see that they're the most dear to Krishna, and what kind of Vaishnavas? All Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas that are beginning, the Vaishnavas in the middle, and the Vaishnavas that are highly advanced. Of course, there's a distinction made by Rupa Goswami when he says, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranati bhishcha bhajantamisham shushushaya bhajana vignamananyamanya nindari shunya hridamipsita sangalabhya. He said, those who say Hare Krishna once, they are considered to be worshipable. So in your mind, you should think, this is a great person. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when asked by the members of the residents of Kulinagram, he said, worship the Vaishnavas. And so they said, what's a Vaishnav? Please teach us. So Mahaprabhu, the first time he gave them instruction, he said, a Vaishnav is anyone who can say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
He said, then I consider that person to be worshipable. And best among all the people because they can say Hare Krishna. So then the next year when they asked Mahaprabhu, what should we do now? He said, worship the Vaishnavas. Please tell us what a Vaishnava is. And then Mahaprabhu said, a Vaishnava is someone who's always chanting Hare Krishna. You go to their house, they're chanting Hare Krishna. They're driving down the road, they're chanting Hare Krishna. Everywhere they go, chanting Hare Krishna. Don't you do anything else? No, I don't. This is the Madhyama Adhikari. And then he gave an instruction. He said, then the topmost devotee, that's the one, when you see him, you start chanting Hare Krishna. Other people start chanting. They go, hey, I better chant Hare Krishna. Because he just saw this Vaishnava. They're so advanced. And then Rupa Goswami said, so the entry level, the one who's chanting, can say it even one time. In your mind, you should show respect. The person who's taken a vow to chant Hare Krishna, you should get down and offer obeisances to that person. And the person who's become purified by the process of chanting Hare Krishna, so Nindadi Shunya, their heart is purified of the propensity to criticize others. They don't have any more envy. They're actually simple and just loving in the service of the Lord. And they become highly elevated. He said, those people, you should get around them. You should dedicate your life. Try to serve them very intimately as much as possible and inquire for them. And so there's a whole science to serving the Vaishnavas, which is seen in the lives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He glorified his devotees over and over again whenever he got around outsiders who would glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We'd always say, it's not me. I'm getting this from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Roy. I don't know anything. They're teaching me everything. He glorified his devotees. He glorified the Vaishnavas. And so if one lives one's life to serve devotees, then very quickly one makes advancement in the process of devotional service. Show proper respect to Vaishnavas. And don't criticize Vaishnavas. It's the first admonition given in the 10 offenses against the holy name of the Lord. Don't vilify them. There's no need to. You don't have to. You can sign up. There's a little sheet you can sign up for. It says, I refuse to vilify Vaishnavas, regardless of who they are. This is started by Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. He said, I don't care what they did or whatever happened. If they're chanting Hare Krishna, it's fine with me. I'm going to worship them. So you have the prerogative. You can do that if you wish. And this is highly recommended, to serve the Vaishnavas, love the Vaishnavas, appreciate the Vaishnavas, because they are the root cause of devotional service. So what's number three? Yes. And what's number one? Make a bigger plan than Maya's plan. Yeah, get with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's plan. What's number two? Yeah, be a revolutionary. Go against the grain of the material world. Develop an attitude of sacrifice. Okay, and number three? Okay. And so, number four is enthusiasm is auspicious. Enthusiasm is auspicious. So, Rupa Goswami teaches in the process of devotional service, utsahan. You have to have utsahan. Look up the word enthusiasm. Oh, you don't have your own stuff over here. We got to get you some computers and things if you're going to be our... Okay, enthusiasm, you'll notice in the word, it's entheos. So theos means God within. Entheos means the God within. There's a sense for this, that there's an indwelling deity. Yes, please go ahead.
It means intense and eager enjoyment, interest or approval. Her energy and
enthusiasm. Read a little slowly and more articulately, please.
Intense and eager enjoyment and interest or approval. Example is her energy and enthusiasm for life. And it's come from early 17th century in enthusiasm sense too, from French enthusiasme or via late Latin from Greek. Enthusiasmos, from enthous, possessed, which means possessed by a god, inspired.
Yeah, so enthous, possessed by a god, from Greek, and then it migrated to Latin and so forth. Thank you. Yeah, it sounds like you speak Latin. You know a little Latin? Okay. Maybe that's where you were in the 16th century. I knew you came from somewhere. So, entheos, so enthusiasm, is extremely important in any discipline. You have to be enthusiastic to make advancement in the process that you're following, and no less than in the process of devotional service. You have to be enthusiastic. And if you don't feel enthusiastic, if you move yourself into that realm of enthusiasm and get around devotees who are enthusiastic, then you move very quickly on the process of devotional service. And this is required in order to advance. So thank you very much for joining us here in the live studios of ISV, and for all of you who've joined from online from various places around the world. We felt your presence very deeply tonight, and we thank you for joining us. And now we're going to have an artik ceremony. So we'll put away all the asans and roll up the rug and have room to dance. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.
Marman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman. Hey, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.